Good morning. I think we got it hooked up now. Thank you, Ken, for that welcome. I'm very glad to be here. The adrenaline now is really thumping, so I may have to pause and just breathe as we go and find our way through it. Anyway, welcome everyone. Happy Sunday. I'm very grateful to be here with y'all, and I really want to thank Regina for asking me to do this, to share with you. I love being with Awakening Together. I also want to take the opportunity to welcome home our travelers. We are glad to have you back. Very glad to have you back. Let me see if I can do anything to. I might just have to speak up. I don't have a whole lot of control over this volume. So I'll just move a little closer to the mic and try and speak up a little bit. Okay, so let's take a moment to greet one another on the board and welcome everybody. I will play a little music while we say hello. And here we go. Welcome.
One, two.
I found out that the door was always open.
like a little Kebmo to get the blood flowing in the morning. All right, so need to read the purpose of awakening together. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. With an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And then I was to choose a core value that I wanted to highlight during my message today, and I chose core value number 2. And that core value says that we realize everyone is equal and no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. And we live this value by listening to each other, by respecting each other, and allowing each one to be where he or she currently is. I also believe that that core value is demonstrated really well in Awakening Together and highlighted in our purpose as well. That because of the appearance of many faiths and many cultures and many symbols, we lay aside any, you know, judgments on that as to what is right and what is wrong, and we allow everyone that space as long as it supports our purpose and is in alignment with our core value. Everybody gets to share, and that's a beautiful thing. Okay, and then I'm going to read announcements, and I need to pull that up. Okay, so the announcements. Awakening Together is offering a couples retreat in Louisville, Kentucky from April 26th through the 30th. And the retreat is for couples only and will be facilitated by John Mark Stroud and his wife Cindy, and assisted by our Reverend Jacqueline Eckert and her husband Tom Conway. Some of the objectives of this retreat are transparency and vulnerability as a pathway to true intimacy, exercising true freedom, the holiness of sexuality, and navigating relationship at different stages of awakening. You will find full details at awakeningtogether.org under the events menu. Awakening Together's Minister Preparation Program will begin in just a couple of weeks, so now is your chance to begin this amazing program. It is a 2-year, spiritually focused program that helps participants increase reliance on their own spiritual wisdom, recognize universal truth in various spiritual teachings, embrace natural wakeful spiritual practice with ease, and realize unswerving clarity and discernment. At the end of the program, participants can be ordained as Awakening Together ministers. The first class, Introduction to MPP, is a free 2-hour class. The purpose of this class is to help you decide if the Minister Preparation Program is for you, and you can find full details at awakeningtogether.org under the classes menu. And Regina is back from India. Yay! So she will be here tonight right after Kate's Hour of Miracles. And Regina will be back with the 7 Steps of Awakening. Regina will be followed by this month's movie discussion group with Jacqueline Eckert. Tonight, They will be discussing the movie Temple Grandin. And if you haven't watched it yet, you've still got time to watch it. And then following the movie discussion group, I believe that they are going to play an interview, a Buddha at the Pump interview with Susanna Marie and Adya Shante. And it looks like it is part two of a interview. So that is the lineup for tonight. So that's Katie Greaves at 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, and then Regina with Seven Steps at 7 p.m. Eastern and 4 o'clock Pacific, the movie discussion group at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, and then the recording of the Buddha at the Gas Pump interview with Susanna Marie and Adya Shanti, and that will be at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. I believe that is it for the announcements. All right. So I'm going to play an opening song, and then we'll go directly into a prayer and then into the reading for the day.
Oh, gently lay your hand upon my chest. Tide can change so fast, but I will stay the same through past, the same and future, same today. I am constant. gently lay your head upon my chest, and I will comfort you like a mother while you rest.
Dear God, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to join in heart and to join in mind, and to hear what you might have for us today. We ask for help in laying aside anything that we think we know, so that we might be open to your words and your truth today. May every heart hear what they need to hear. May we receive the guidance that we need today as we join together. I give this time to you. May my words and thoughts and heart be directed by one who knows. Thank you. And so it is. Amen. Okay, is volume still really troublesome? I would be open to any kind of instruction. I don't know what else to do. And we will just go into our reading for the day, and my reading is from the Way of Mastery. It is section from Lesson 1, and the section is entitled The First Step in Awakening. It won't be the entire section, it will be pages 5 through 7. And my reader is my dear friend Melissa, and this is the part of the program that you don't have a whole lot of control over. I'm going to let go of the mic, and Melissa's going to try and pick it up, and if that does not work, then I will most certainly do the reading. So letting go of the mic, and Melissa, you are on, and thank you for helping me out today.
Okay, can you guys hear me? Okay, volume good? Okay, here we go. All right, and good morning, and thank you for asking me to read. All right, this is the first step in awakening. All right, the first step in awakening is to allow into the mind this axiom of truth. Nothing that you experience is caused by anything outside of you. You experience only the effects of your own choice. During the first part of this course, we will be building lesson by lesson on what I am choosing to call the way of the heart. It is the way unknown to the world. It is a way unknown to many that would call themselves spiritual teachers, for it is not a way of resting on or becoming dependent on magical means. It is, rather, that pathway which cultivates within you the decision to turn your attention upon your own mind, upon your own behavior, upon what is true and real for you moment to moment, to study it, to consider it, to feel it, to breathe the light of spirit through it, and to constantly retrain the mind so that it assumes complete responsibility in each moment. Why is this necessary? Because without it, there can be no peace. Without it, you cannot transcend the false identifications that you have chosen. You need to come to the point where you say to yourself, I have done this to myself. I did it. I must correct it. No one is to blame. The world is innocent. In the lessons that follow, we will be communicating with you more and more deeply the finer points of the way of the heart. For it is that way that was taught to me. It is that way that brings about the reversal of every thought you have chosen. Sorry, I read the mic there. I'm going to just pay attention to the reading. It is that way that brings about the reversal of every thought you have ever had about anyone or anything. It is that way alone which allows you to pass back through the eye of the needle and to come to rest in perfect peace from which you have sprung forth. The way of the heart is not the way of the intellect, for indeed that aspect of the mind was never designed to be your master. It was designed to be the humble and, if you will pardon the expression, very stupid servant of the awakened heart. The way of the heart, or the heart, is that which feels all things, embraces all things, trusts all things, and allows all things. The heart is that in which the soul rests eternally. The heart is that which is beyond space and time, and is that spark of light in the mind of God, which is called Christ. Only in that will you find the peace that you seek. You will discover that pathway of awakening is not a pathway of avoidance, but a pathway of truthfulness. It is not a pathway of accomplishment and pride, but a pathway of releasing from the consciousness every hope and every wish to be special, to see yourself as having made progress so that you can pound a fist upon the chest and spread the tail feathers. It is a transcendence of the hope of somehow getting God's attention so that he will look on you and say, "Oh, you have been such a good person. Yes, we will allow you into the kingdom now." It is a way in which you will come to cultivate, regardless of your inner experience or degree of awakening, the willingness and the art of returning to the simplicity of empty-headedness and not knowingness with each and every breath. It is a way of life in which all things and all events become an aspect of your meditation and your prayer until there is established once again within you the truth that is always true, that is true always. Not my will, but thine be done, for of myself I do nothing, but the Father does all things through me. Imagine then a state of being in which you walk through this world seemingly appearing like everyone else, and yet you are spacious within. You are empty within. In truth, you desire nothing, though you allow desire to move through you, and you recognize it as the voice of the Father guiding your personality, your emotions, and even the body to the places, events, people, and experience through which the tapestry of the atonement, the at-one-ment, is being woven, through which all of the children of God are called home again. You trust the complete flow of that, whether you are asked to give a speech in front of 10,000 people, or you are asked to tell a friend the truth of your feelings, or whether or not you are asked to sweep the streets and live penniless. For in truth, that mind that trusts the source of its creation allows all things, trusts all things, embraces all things, and transcends all things. Rest assured, whenever you feel frustration and anxiety, it is because you have decided not to trust the truth. And the truth is simply this: only God's plan for salvation can work for you. Your way must always fail, for your way begins with the illusory and insane assumption that you are a separate being from the mind of God and must therefore direct your own course. For if you are sick and diseased and not at peace, why would you decide that you know how to create peace? It requires great humility to accept the first step of the past. I have done all this. I must undo it, but I have no idea how I did this. Therefore, I must surrender to something else. I give you this thought, and I would ask that you consider it well. What is the very life you are living and each and every experience that is coming to you now since the moment you decided, I have got to awaken here, being directly sent to you of your Father, because your Father knows what is necessary to unravel within your consciousness to allow you to awaken. What if the very things you are resisting and the very stepping stones to your homecoming? What if you achieved a maturity along this pathway in which you are finally willing to let things be just as they are? If it was necessary to sweep the streets, you simply took a deep breath and said, Father, you know the way home, and began sweeping. And up into the mind comes the thought, oh my God, I won't be recognized. I won't stand out. People won't think I'm special if I'm just a street sweeper. Yet you recognize, aha, no wonder my Father wants me to do this. I've got to flush this up so I can look at it, disidentify from it, and learn to be the presence of love in the sweeping of the street. In truth, I tell you, the least among you, according to your perception, is already equal to the greatest. And there is none among you who is less than I am. The way of the heart begins by accepting the humility that you have created quite a mess within your consciousness. You have created a labyrinth and gotten lost within it, and you do not know the way back. It begins by accepting that of yourself, you can do nothing. For you, all you have managed to achieve is the creation of a whole lot of insane dramas that are occurring nowhere except within the field of your mind. They are like chimeras, like dreams. In truth, there is no difference between a waking state in which you would be the director of your life and the dreams you have when the body sleeps at night. They are both the same. I wish to direct you to peace, even that peace which forever transcends the understanding and comprehension of the world. I desire, because my Father desires it through me, to bring you wholly to where I am, that you might discover there is someone that got there ahead of you. And when you look closely, you will say, ah, it is myself. I have always been there, but I forgot. In the end of all journeying, in the end of all purification, and indeed purification is still necessary, you will discover that to awaken means to have journeyed nowhere. It means to have arrived at a goal that has never changed. Awakening is only remembrance, but it is a remembrance not just of the intellect. It is not an idea as you would understand ideas. It is an idea that vibrates through the whole field of your beingness, so that even the cells of the body, while yet the body remains coalesced together in its present form, awaken and relax into the truth that is true always. Thank you, and I'm releasing the mic.
Thank you, Melissa. That was beautiful, beautiful reading. I really love that stuff, and you did a lovely, lovely job. And we could hear you very well. I have switched and now am on my phone. Is that any better sound-wise? Okay. All right. Very good. Okay, then we will use that instead of my computer. That helps. Okay, so that was a long reading, and there was a lot of stuff in there, but it is stuff that has always really spoke to me. And when this topic came to my mind, there are a couple sections from this book that I could choose from, but I thought that, you know, the starting off was at the very beginning was a really good place to pull some of the quotes from that. So that is what, I'm sorry, I'm having some technical difficulties, and my cat has decided to join us. So hello, Mikey. Okay, so we're going to start. So the first quote in there, certainly that got my attention, is the way of the heart is not the way of the intellect. For indeed, that aspect of the mind was never designed to be your master. It was designed to be the humble and, if you will pardon the expression, very stupid servant of the awakened heart. You know, as I kind of researched a little bit about humility and just my experience with it, for sure, there are times that it is misunderstood. I know it's been in some context before that's been misunderstood by me. When I think of that the intellect needs to be the stupid servant, I think of that in as in opposition of the master, the ego being the arrogant master. And humility can be viewed as the answer to that arrogant, the arrogance of the intellect, that arrogance that mistakenly, but often very emphatically claims to know something. Humility seems to be the answer in I do not know. It seems to be the other end of that, the softer side of I do not know. You know, the arrogance that the ego uses oftentimes ranges all the way from something as simple as I know what you are thinking, or I know how this should be done, or I know what the truth is, can be all the way from that range to the ultimate of I know there is no God, and all kinds of things in between there. And the humility, of course, is laying aside all those things that we think we know, because in the world, you cannot know anything. It is always changing. It is always moving, and you can't land on anything. Humility seems to know that and understand that. Oftentimes, humility is mistaken or confused with thinking that it has something to do with an opinion that one holds about themselves, either a high opinion or a low opinion. There was a quote I found from C.S. Lewis saying, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Goes along with, you know, my problem with arrogance seems to be that I don't think too highly of myself, or I don't think too lowly of myself. It is thinking too often of myself as a self. So understanding that humility is the once again that quiet place. Another humility I discover is often associated, probably mistakenly, with humiliation. When I have had opportunities in my journey to look deeply at this experience of humiliation, usually what I find, the energy of it is usually pretty intense, for sure, very fear-based. When I look deeply at it, I find that at some point in time, I've gotten lost pretending. You know, pretending to be someone that I am not, taking on a role, some image that I thought I needed to live up to, some idea of what I needed to be. And so I'm pretending to be someone else, usually pretending to be all-knowing about all things. And then something will come along in my experience. Someone will say something or do something. Usually some natural event will take place, and that will expose the fallacy of that knowing, of that thing I thought I knew about, whether that thing was, you know, that you were wrong and I was right, whatever it might be. So I get caught. That's the feeling of humiliation, is getting caught. And the suffering has always been tied to somehow being viewed as or perceived as limited, as being less than. Mostly it comes from being seen as being out of control, not being in control of the circumstance. An ego does not like to be seen as unable to manage this or unable to manage that. And so that's usually in that moment, in that time, and that experience of humiliation is brought up. That is what's happened, is I got caught pretending to be something I'm not. And the only problem with that is if there's a judgment on that. The truth is that anytime we're out running around thinking we know something in this world, we're always going to get caught, because that is not the truth of who we are. Egos do not know what is going on the majority of the time. When I was putting this stuff together, I was really reminded of a quote from the Course that always got my attention, and it's one that's in my toolkit often, around this area of thinking I know something and trying to control the uncontrollable, is you who cannot control yourself should hardly aspire to control the universe. And that sounds absolutely absurd, and I can remember the first time I read that, that I thought that was a little extreme. And certainly as I have had experiences and been willing to look, the closer I have looked, the truer that rings, that's exactly what happens at times. So when we talk about needing humility on the path, on this spiritual path that we're people in this room are certainly on. Most folks I have visited with usually came to a spiritual path through some expression of humility. If humility is that recognition that I've come to the end of my resources, I've come to the end of everything that I think I know as an ego pretending to be an individual person in this world. Most folks have come to the spiritual path through an expression of humility, and recognition that their best efforts at thought, their best efforts at action were insufficient. And often they were insufficient to solve any of the problems that they thought they faced. You know, we usually misdiagnose the problem for sure. So some were led to a path because of addictions. Sometimes it can be through a very painful relationship ending or a very painful relationship not ending. Financial hardship, medical issues, all of those things lead us to the end of our resources. We try everything that we know to fix and solve, and we can't seem to get beyond it. And then some are led to the path because they actually had achieved everything they thought that their heart desired, everything that they were conditioned and taught would make them happy, would help them manage life, would help them be who they needed to be. And they have gotten to that place and found the hollow longing. And my brother was an example of that. My brother was a heavy, heavy achiever and brilliant and smart and talented. And I remember one night having a conversation with him. It was right before he graduated from vet school, and he had done, you know, 4 years of vet school, and that was following 4 years of his bachelor's, and you know, from the time he was very young to
all this, that was his goal, was education. And his desire for education was to get a job and get money. And he thought that that's what would make him happy. And I can remember us talking the night before he picked up that diploma, and he spoke of this emptiness. He spoke of this hollow longing that nobody had addressed in his and I's life, for sure. Nobody had ever addressed this emptiness that came through the pursuit of trying to get things that were going to make us happy. And that conversation really rang to me about, you know, the emptiness at the end of a goal. So that's usually what brings us to a path at times, is, you know, coming to the end of our ability to solve the problems that we face in our life. And whatever form of upset, at some point a desire seems to come forth, at least in my experience it was. And it's this desire that begs us, this begging for us to look for another way. I believe humility is the characteristic that allows that mind to open to the honesty, so we can be willing to look at something else and to look for another way. Brings me to this second place in lesson one, where it speaks to this directly. And it says, rest assured, whenever you are feeling frustration and anxiety, it is because you have decided not to trust the truth. And the truth is simply this, that only God's plan for salvation can work for you. Of all the plans that I've tried, this is still true. Your way must always fail, for your way begins with the illusory and insane assumption that you are a separate being from the mind of God and must therefore direct your own course. For if you are sick and diseased and not at peace, why would you decide that you know how to create peace? It requires great humility to accept the first step of the path, that I have done all this, I must undo it, but I have no idea how I did this. Therefore, I must surrender to something else. And that seems to be that illustration that we need a guide. We need a guide out. And the beautiful part is that through that surrender, we will eventually get in touch with a guide that knows how that all got created to begin with. And that's why we need the spiritual guide, because, you know, I really have found in my journey that that when I am open, that when humility sets in, once I have surrendered to the idea that I do not have all the answers here, that humility does bring in the teachers that I need. And for a period of time, those teachers take the form of a book, beautiful, beautiful writings in books, beautiful teachers. There's, you know, Regina Don Acres is one of my favorite teachers. And I have been given this incredible gift of teachers that will point me to the truth. Ultimately, we need that internal guidance. We need that internal direction. We need that connection with our own inner guide, because the external teachers don't know exactly how all of that stuff got created on the inside of us. They don't know the labyrinth like the Holy Spirit does. So that is ultimately why I need that guidance from an internal teacher. And then, so humility being one of the things that will bring us to the spiritual path. We also need humility to guide us along the path once we get here. Because I think it is humility also that sees the need for a process, that sees the need for a practice in order to undo what was made by the ego, all of that conditioning. And humility sees that there is a need for that, that there is a need for a practice. My entrance to the spiritual path was a pretty significant event in that there was a very powerful spiritual experience where almost within the course of a day, I had one view of the world. And by the end of the day, I had another view of the world. And in that period of time, I experienced a love I had never known, did not know was possible. And within that experience, part of the mistake that I made was thinking that I was at the end of the journey as opposed to the very beginning of the journey. And so it was quite a process, you know, recognizing that I needed practices, ongoing practice in order to understand that event in my life and to continue to move in the direction that that event was, I believe, taking me to. So humility sees a need for this practice to undo what was made. And I think that that is illustrated in this reading at the very beginning. And I love this part where it says, it is rather that pathway which cultivates within you the decision to turn your attention upon your own mind, upon your own behavior, upon what is true and real for you moment to moment, to study it, to consider it, to feel it, to breathe the light of spirit through it, and to constantly retrain the mind so that it assumes complete responsibility in each moment. And I think that is a beautiful, beautiful writing of that Yeshua gives us about what a practice is. And, you know, any practice usually entails elements of these things. And as I read that, it was what came to me was, you know, no ego desires to do these things. You know, it is not an aspiration of the ego to do these practices. These practices are the nuts and the bolts that are truly designed to help us release that false sense of self. So these practices that could lead to the complete letting go of the ego would certainly be threatening. And I believe that is what that's the resistance that we buck up against on the path. You know, there's the humility that is needed to get on the path that says, I don't know what's going on here. I can't solve these problems in my life. But once we get on the path, that humility is needed in order to meet in a loving way that resistance that is found in these practices, because an ego does not want to be ended. One of the things that came to me in this when I was just kind of finishing the nuts and bolts of the message, it never came through real clear, so I'm not quite sure if it's going to come through clear now, but the idea was I could see this ego pondering its own demise in some fashion. So, you know, it's kind of looking at these spiritual paths that have come about, and And it's kind of, you know, as more and more seemingly separated individuals have begun and participating in these purification processes, have started using these practices, and it's beginning to feel this threat, you know, just kind of this idea of it thinking, oh my gosh, I'm not sure, what are we going to do? People are becoming a little selfless here. They're not thinking of their own individual goals as much anymore. They're kind of given, they're letting go of their selfish pursuits. You know, one of the greatest hallmarks of the ego is this, greatest tools is comparing, right? I mean, we spend an awful lot of time comparing. Prior to getting on the spiritual path, the comparisons were with other bodies, comparisons with bank accounts, with what I drive versus what you drive. For the less material attached folks, it would be intellect, you know, who are our intellectual heroes, what kinds of intellectual stuff do we worship, ideas, philosophies. So all of that comparison going on all of the time. So, you know, the ego being threatened in that, because people are giving that up, right? People are no longer looking to the Joneses to see if they're measuring up, letting go of some of that comparison, letting go of some of that hierarchy, less than, better than, all that unequal kind of stuff. And so the ego just kind of ponders, what's an ego to do? Won't be long now, ego thinks, it's all over, unless I can somehow get them to, I will get them to begin comparing spiritual paths. That's what we'll do. We will transfer all of that comparison that we did on bodies and materials and all of that kind of stuff, and we'll just start comparing spiritual paths. And then that ought to buy me another, you know, 200 lifetimes or so. And that is exactly, yes, Jay, that is exactly what we have done. And we don't always do it very lovingly. You know, we get into these modes of the comparison and what is right and what is wrong. And we get to thinking that we once again know something. And it, you know, I am taught and I am learning that we can't take any of that too seriously. But at the same point and the same time, it's a bit tragic because the pain that is created through that, through the judgment, through the sense of separation, through the I know and you don't, and my way's best, and if you're not doing it this way, all of that stuff, once again, just serves to distract us again, from the work, from the practice. I go through periods of time in my life where I am in the full throes of believing that I am a separate individual, that I have this personality named Kelly, and I believe that to be who I am. There is a huge part in my heart that keeps guiding me in a very loving way to let go of that. But in the meantime, there is going to be work that has to be done, and there is going to be practice that needs to be done. And I cannot do to do that without this commodity called humility that continues to say, you know, not just when I recognize the need to be on a spiritual path, but continues to say as I'm on it that I do not know. I do not know in this moment Another thing that Course shared with me and taught me, which was so valuable to me, is a reminder that, you know, for the most part, I can't even figure out what my own motives for things are. And it really warns me to be careful about judging what the motives of anybody else is at any given time, because I don't even know what my own are. So I need to continue to cultivate this humility in order to keep that idea of I do not know open. With that humility, I can be open to many things. And that's one of the beautiful things about awakening together, is we have an incredible opportunity here to continuously say, I do not know. Every time we move in, every time we go into a sanctuary room, every time we join what somebody is sharing, we can remember that I do not know, and ask God to reveal to us what he would have us see in that moment. And that, I have come to the end of my little notes. I think we will play my last music selection, and then can open up the mic for anybody else who might like to share, and we will do that after the music.
Keep up the fight. I couldn't be more satisfied.
No.
There's no peace outside my window. There is peace inside, and that's why I can no longer run. I can no longer hide. I can no longer run. No longer love. I will be done. I will be
All right. And I see that Barb did post. I meant to mention the link to donate to Awakening Together. Thank you, Barb. And I am going to go ahead and let go of the mic in case some people want to share. Thank you all so much for your support. And I love you all. And have a great week. Thank you.
Hello, this is Regina. And hi, everyone. It is great to be back with you all. One thing that I really stood out for me, first of all, I think the entire teaching this morning was wonderful. And I want to say thank you very much, Kelly, again, for saying yes. I also want to thank everyone that said yes to being a minister while we were away in India. One thing that stood out for me this morning is when you were talking about humility. Is knowing that you need a spiritual practice in order to undo the ego. There have been a number, not just one or two, a number of people that have shared with me that they're having great difficulty doing the practices in the gentle healing group in the way that the practices are laid out in the course, as well as, doing the homework that's assigned, you know, the reading assignments, the video and audio assignments, et cetera. This morning, Rebecca made a really wonderful post, I thought. It was a great analogy. She said that, you know, her experience right now was it's like going up a slide, but instead of taking the stairs, which is the easy way to get to the top of the slide, you know, it's like trying to crawl up the slippery part, you know, trying to pull yourself up the slippery part of the slide. And, you know, this resistance that so many people are experiencing right now is coming from the ego that doesn't want to be undone. And it reminds me of in the book, The Teachings of Inner Ramana. Inner Ramana talks about resistance and says that every time we listen to our resistance or believe our resistance, it's like shouting into a cave. And what happens is we get the ego. We get the echo, which is the ego, but we get the echo. And then we end up listening to it again. So for example, if I decide that I don't want to do the reading, or, you know, I decide that I don't want to, you know, do the meditation 3 times today. I only want to do it 2 times today, or 1 time today, or whatever. And that's like shouting in the cave, I don't want to do this. And when I shout in the cave, I don't want to do this, the echo I get back is, I don't want to do this. And I mistakenly listen to it again. And that's like shouting back in the cave, I don't want to do this. And of course, what happens as we continue to shout into the cave and listen to our own echo is that the ego does not get undone. The ego does not get undone. That's what happens. So what the Inner Ramana recommends is that we be gentle with ourselves. If we have great resistance, that we be gentle with ourselves by doing it anyway. So the thought may be there, for example, I don't want to do this meditation the 3rd time. And Ramana says that we're gentle with ourselves if we do the meditation a 3rd time anyway. Because by doing the meditation a 3rd time anyway, we are not shouting into the cave and we're not creating more resistance echoes. Or if we don't want to do the reading, that we do the reading anyway. Be gentle with ourselves and do it anyway. Because that way we're not shouting into the cave and creating even more resistance. The group is called the Gentle Healing Group. The Gentle Healing Group. You know, Michael Langford, as you all know, recommends things like a minimum of 2 hours of awareness, watching awareness practice per day. And most of us, there's just no friggin' way our egos would permit us to do that. This Gentle Healing Group asks for a minimum amount of practice, a minimum. You know, right now we're doing 3 to 5 minutes, 3 times a day. 3 to 5 minutes, 3 times a day. You know, that's just not much. And so when the ego says, I don't want to do it, we need to really be wise to that. We need to realize that the ego is saying, I don't want to be undone. It's like our sickness is saying, I want to stay sick. Our suffering is saying, I want to continue to suffer. And we got to be wiser than that. We got to realize, no, that's not what I want. In fact, in the very first week of the Gentle Healing Group, what we read in NTI Luke is that the answer to great resistance is great willingness. Great willingness. You know, we want to focus on our willingness, focus on our desire for awakening, for truth, for peace, for happiness, for joy, for love, for undoing the ego, and allow that willingness to help us do the little bit that the Gentle Healing Group is asking for. So that's the humility that Kelly spoke about, right? That's the humility to know that we really do need to just follow these simple instructions. You know, just do as we're told and just follow these simple instructions and let that ego be undone. So thank you very much, Kelly. I really enjoyed your sharing and I am releasing the mic.
Hey, I hope the sound's working all right. I'm on my phone. I just wanted to say to Kelly, I really, 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 did I say really? Really, really, really enjoyed your presentation. I found it extremely clear, and I found that you presented your topic, your thoughts, your intention super clearly. I can't say enough in words other than saying thank you, thank you, thank you. Releasing the mic, thank you so much.
Good morning. I hope you guys can hear me. Sorry for my delayed response. Yep. Okay. Good. Thank you, Kelly, for speaking this morning. I agree with Larry and the other folks who have said it was a beautiful message. Very well done. I was really impressed with or impressed by the idea of returning to empty-headedness and not knowingness with every breath. Because in the end, it's all about surrender. And I think you're absolutely right. I think, you know, at some point on this path, we think, man, I got this thing. I got it now. I know exactly what to do. I know the formula. And you know, off we go in the wrong direction again. So that reminder alone was worth tuning in for. But it was all just a beautiful, beautiful message. And I really thank you for sharing it with us this morning. And thank you to Melissa for a beautiful reading. Okay, bye.
I've seen my share of struggle when I thought that I knew best. When I've sailed through a storm instead of stopping to rest. And it always seems the hardest when I made up my stubborn mind. I'm changing my ways this time. Wanna be like water coming down a mountain into shadowy canyons, flowing from pool to stream. Wanna be like water, head uphill no more. I am bound for the sea. Have you ever seen an eagle head straight into the wind? Doesn't pick a fight, spreads his wings and just gives in. And in the end he always makes it home just fine. I guess he knows that every storm subsides. Wanna be like water coming down the mountain in the shadowy canyons, flowing from pools to stream. Wanna be like water. Stream, wanna be like water, never kill no more.